Matthew chapter 26, we'll be looking at verses 31 through 35. Matthew 26, verses 31 and following. The context of these verses, Jesus just instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. He had communion. Jesus had his first communion with his disciples, the last Passover before his death. He shared a meal with his disciples, read scriptures, fellowshipped, and ate a meal, and then sang some hymns. They had church. They had church. And right after them singing these awesome hymns about God and His glory and about just how holy and righteous the Lord is, here's our context, verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, after coming to church and after an awesome worship experience, Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. As it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after that, I will be raised and I will go before you to Galilee. So the first couple verses here, Jesus is doing the speaking. And again, they just had this awesome worship experience. But then after church, Jesus makes this really crazy declaration that all will be made to stumble because of me this night. Literally, the made to stumble, maybe a better translation would be, all of you will find cause to take offense because of me. All of you will find a cause to take offense of me. Well, let's look at that first phrase. We'll look at the preposition later. All of you will find a cause to be offended. Let's just look at that for a moment. Apart from the object of the preposition, I think we could all safely say that we've all been offended by something, have we not? Some of us have been offended a lot. Some of us are what we call thin-skinned. Now, on the outside, I might look pretty thick. Because way down deep, I'm pretty thin-skinned. Some of you might know that. I'm a very emotional guy. I wear emotions on my sleeves. Everything that I feel, you're getting it. Everything that I think, you get it. My looks, my actions, my reactions, you know exactly what I'm thinking all of the time. It's a blessing and it's a curse. Yep. Was that my kid who said that? What's up with that? I can be offended at the smallest thing, and someone not even mean it to be offensive. Any of you like that, or is it just me? Because I'll preach to myself. I've been doing that for a couple of weeks. There is in the human nature the intrinsic ability to take things personally and to find cause to be offended at anything. Is that not true? We can find cause to take offense at nearly everything. As a large guy who wants to lose weight, I am offended by those who are so picky in their eating habits. And I'm offended by their, oh no, I can't have that, and I can't have that, and I shouldn't have that, and I can't have that. It's like, can you not enjoy life? But they are enjoying life. You see, why am I offended by that? Isn't it crazy how we can be offended over the smallest of things? We can find a reason to take offense at anything. Anything. Not only can we not find offense at everything, but Jesus makes it more clear here in the context. All of you will find a cause to be offended because of me. It's bad enough to find a reason to be offended at so many things that happen in our world, so many things that happen in our family, so many things that happen in our city, so many things that happen at work. We find cause to be offended. But Jesus makes it even more clear that you're going to find a cause to be offended by Jesus. You're going to find a reason. You're going to find a cause to be offended because of Jesus. All of you. All of you. And the moment any one of us says, oh no, I would never do that. Well, wait till we get to the rest of the story. All of the disciples said, I would never find a cause to be offended because of Jesus. I would never do that. Here's a time in just abased humility, all of us as family, to be honest, that at times we all have been, are, and probably will be offended because of Jesus. It's hard to say that. It's probably hard to listen to it because you don't want to, right? There's the spiritual side of us that says, no, that's not me. That can't happen to me. You know, we got to be honest. And I would dare say almost every day, we find a cause to not live out Jesus. Every day. I hate to say it. But every day, we all have probably been offended and have not shared our faith because of the holiness and righteousness of Jesus Christ, and somehow that is offensive to the world. And how dare I offend the world with Jesus? All of you this night are going to find cause. Scandalizo, scandalize. You're going to find cause to take offense because of me. This isn't the first time Jesus said this. In Matthew 11, he said, blessed are the people who are not offended because of me. Blessed is the world. Blessed is the world who is not offended because of me. How are you to be blessed? By living a life that just shares and shows Jesus off. So not only is does everyone have the ability to be blessed if they are not offended because of Jesus. In Matthew 13:57, Jesus' own hometown were all offended because of Jesus. So much for the hometown hero. You know, not he didn't get a sign that said, you know, astronaut so-and-so was born in this city, you know, or Garth Brooks was born here. I saw that. I think we were driving through Oklahoma, and they saw Garth Brooks was born here. It's like, oh, wow, look at that. In the middle of nowhere, there's, you know, famous so-and-so. They're real proud of that sign, you know. We were somewhere in North Texas driving in some of our travels, and we saw, like, they even, you know, have you ever seen water towers before? Yeah, okay, yeah. Like, they painted the water tower with somebody's face, a real famous person, and the whole water tower looked like someone's face. It's kind of weird because, you know, the water tower is kind of like this, you know, kind of the face is like, you know, but it was kind of an interesting caricature, you know, of, you know, so we take pride in our hometown heroes. Jesus, there was no pride in his hometown. They were, in Matthew 13:57, says they were offended by Jesus. Matthew 15, the Pharisees, of course, were offended by Jesus and his words. And now it says the disciples are offended by Jesus. It almost gets from bigger to smaller. You know, it starts with, you know, the whole world has the ability to be offended because of Jesus, and then his hometown, and then the Pharisees, and now the disciples. It's like everyone's offended. And so the question, I suppose, would be, are you? Are you in any way offended because of Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus causes such an offense to people that you wouldn't want to share him? Maybe you don't find Jesus offensive in your life, but the moment you don't share Jesus, you're really saying Jesus is offensive to others. Have you ever thought about that? When we don't share Jesus in me, the hope of glory, redemption, salvation, and we don't share that with others, what are we saying? Well, you don't need it. You don't need him. You obviously don't need to change. Are we that offended by what Jesus has done? Has Jesus changed us? Has he changed us? Has he changed you? Are you completely different today because of Jesus? Why wouldn't you want to share that? It's hard to hear the realities and the honesty of our hearts to say sometimes we have to admit in humility and in honesty that we get offended because of the cause of Christ. People are offended because of Jesus. The church is often offended because of Jesus. Thus, we don't share Jesus. It seems like every organization now calls for people to love one another. We need to love one another. We need to promote peace. We need to focus on hope. We all need to come together as a nation, come together as a city. And as a Christian, I catch myself like, yeah, that's so true, but that's through the Christian mindset. Do you realize when the world talks about the world needs love and if we all love one another, that the shootings would stop? That's not true. Because the world's definition of love is not real. It's true in our minds because we love Jesus and we know what that means. But in the world's perspective, when they say if we just had peace, everything would be great. And we go, as Christians, yeah, but your definition of peace is so not right. Your definition of love really is very self-satisfying. Your definition of love is very prideful. Your definition of love is selfish. So why would you think if everyone be selfishly loving that it would fix the problems? Selfish love is why we have the problem. What the world needs now is not love. What the world needs now is not peace. What the world needs now is not hope. What the world needs now is Jesus. The world needs Jesus. We are so caught in this place where we're just offended by the name Jesus that we forget and we use those coined words. What the world needs now is love. What the world needs hope. Yes, they do, but they can only find that through the person and work of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. It's the only way we're going to have peace on earth. It's the only way we're going to have love in this society is when people come to Jesus. And it's time for the church to be and act like church and witness and not be offended by the cause of Jesus and share Jesus with your neighbors. There is no excuse this week to share Jesus with somebody. Every day we have an opportunity, maybe not every single day. But think about this. If you're in tune with your master, I believe in most of our lives, he is giving each of you an opportunity every single day to share Jesus. Don't you think that would be God's activity? God wants you to disclose his character to others, does he not? Is Jesus not in the business of showing off his character to us? Then why would we think that there's not a day that goes by that he doesn't want us to expose someone to the nature and character of his son Jesus? It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter if you're tall, if you're short, if you're skinny, if you can walk, if you can't. You have the ability with where you're at to share Jesus. If we don't share Jesus, we are really saying we're offended by him. The quote from the scriptures, Jesus said, all of this is taking place because the scriptures say it will. I like how the scriptures reinforce, like Jesus' words are reinforced by the Holy Scriptures themselves. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Of course, in the context, I will strike the shepherd. Isn't it interesting? Zechariah 13:7 says, I will strike the shepherd. Who's striking the shepherd? God. God is striking the shepherd. Who's the shepherd? Jesus. Do you catch that? God is striking Jesus down. Oh, so biblical theology runs wild in my head. I'm thinking about, trivia question 101, right? Who killed Jesus on the cross? You're like, well, the Gentiles did, right? The Romans, the centurions, Pilate, etc., right? Well, the Jews did. Sanhedrin, right? The Pharisees, I mean, God did. Jesus gave his own life. Jesus did. Ever think about that? It says here in Zechariah 13:7, I, God, will strike the shepherd. It is by God's hand of judgment on sin that he strikes his own son. Wow. Have you thought about that? We read so quickly sometimes. Sometimes we need to read a little more devotionally. Slow down. I will strike my shepherd. What it must be like for God the Father to send his own son, a holy, righteous, pure son, into this world to be spit, mocked, scourged, tortured, for God himself to strike him dead. And the moment that he took on our sin, the moment that God struck judgment and judged all the sin of the world through his son Jesus, all the sheep come together, all the sheep scatter. At that moment when sin has been reconciled once and for all, the sheep scatter. Offended, scared, afraid. I don't know why, but they took offense at the work of Jesus. The good thing, though, is that even though God struck the shepherd, that same God in verse 32, what did he do? He raised him from the dead. That same God who cast judgment on his son, who died for the sins of the world, saw holiness die for us. And he raised him from the dead. Sin dies. Jesus is raised from the dead. And then he's going to go to Galilee where he's going to meet them. And that's exactly what happened in all the Gospels. It talks about how awesome it is that Jesus went to Galilee. And surprise, I'm alive. God did the striking. God did the raising. I think we can trust God. Verse 33, Peter answered and said. So Peter's now going to speak, of course. Of course he's going to speak. I love in the New King James, it says answered. It's a perfect translation. And I've said this a number of times in Matthew and through the Gospels. Peter answered. My question would be, what's the question that Jesus asked? Peter's just going to chime in with an answer. But there wasn't a question. Jesus says, you're going to be offended because of me. You're going to find cause in something to be offended because of my character, because of my holiness, because of who I am. You're going to find reason to be offended. And Peter answered Jesus. Like, okay, go ahead. What do you have to say? I didn't ask a question. I mean, I don't know. I would like to think if I were Peter, I would start crying. I think if I were Peter, I would just be a mess. Crying and just saying, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know why, but I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to be offended by anything you do. I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. I'll never do that again. Peter answered and said, if all are made to stumble because of you, me, emphatic in the Greek. There's me, that's me. I will never do that. I will never be caused to stumble. I will never find a cause to stumble at all. Even if all were found cause, I will never. So really, in essence, Peter is questioning Jesus' authority. Because he's really calling Jesus a liar. Jesus, you're not right. You're not true. All are be made to stumble, but I won't. Therefore, you're a liar. Do you ever think about that? Peter just called Jesus a liar. The one who made the heavens and the earth, the one who made everything from nothing into something, just called him a liar. Questions his authority. Now I feel like I'm really bashing Peter, which I am. But you got to love his sincerity, right? You got to love his sincerity. Like, I would never do that, whether it's out of loyal love, whatever. I'm like, you got to just love his sincerity. So as much as I'm bashing on him, let me just say, you got to love just the sincere heart, I suppose, of saying, I'd never do that. I'd never do that. There's no way. Jesus, there's no way I'd ever do that. Reminds me of children who want a puppy. I'll always, yeah, exactly. I'll love them and take care of them and feed them and water them and take them out on potty breaks all the time. You know, the goldfish, right? Why not water it? I'll feed him, I'll change his water, I'll scoop the stuff, whatever it takes. You know, I'll buy a catfish too, and it'll just be all great. Fish are dead in like 2 days, you know. The puppy isn't, because we take care of the puppy as parents, right? I mean, we just take care of the puppy, you know, and so all of a sudden it's not the kid's puppy anymore, but they feel like it's theirs, you know. And of course, 15 years later, when the puppy dies, it's like they're heartbroken because it's their puppy. It's like, you didn't do anything. But anyway, that's probably where I'm. But we really do have a couple of really good vets in here, by the way. You know, Kelly Pizzo, seriously, if you need a good vet, go to Kelly Pizzo. Like, she's awesome. So take care of your pets, okay? Like, take care of your pets. But, you know, that's sincerity, right? Children aren't trying to lie, I don't think, right? I mean, they're just so emotional. Like, I'll take care of it. I'll do anything. Oh, just please let me buy it for $300. It's a purebred. Yeah. So, Peter, you know, I appreciate his sincerity. But in the end, he was really questioning Jesus' authority. You know, when Jesus says something, will you just listen? Sometimes Jesus' words kind of hurt, don't they? Sometimes it hurts to say, hey, you know what? You're going to be offended because of Jesus. Will you just stop that? And instead of trying to make something up or just question the words of Jesus, just in humility, just soak it in and say, I'm sorry. Man, I'm human. I'm frail. I'm going to make mistakes. Just trust Jesus. I would never do this. The way Matthew writes it in these sort of emphatic words makes it feel like there is a little bit of self-righteousness and pride there. It doesn't have to be written this way, you know? So adding these emphatics makes it really seem like there's a little bit of self-righteousness, a little bit, I would never do that. I would never think about. And lovingly, verse 34, Jesus said to him, you're a dummy. No? He didn't say that, did he? Jesus said to him, and his response, his tone, is not bashing Peter at all. He speaks truth, but he does it in such a loving way. He just said, surely, assuredly, most surely, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. He didn't bash him. He didn't call him a loser. He just said, my truth is my truth. My word is my word. And it's going to happen. If you want more of a timestamp, I'll give it to you right here. Rooster's going to crow. Before you do that 3 times, you're going to deny me. And we're going to see in a couple of weeks that he actually does. I love the response of Jesus. Not haughty, of course, not prideful. Just stated matter-of-factly and with the tone of love that just says, this is just the facts. You're going to deny me. And I would dare say all of us have probably denied Jesus. After we got saved, we thought we would never, ever, ever deny Jesus. And that maybe that first year, we were so on fire for the Lord. We talked to people all the time, maybe get in a school of ministry or something and just like just rock it for Jesus. And I don't know, stuff happens, life happens. You know, family happens, marriage happens, kids happen. And there's something that life goes on, and it becomes commonplace to have a life with Jesus, and it's not that special, amazing relationship that it once felt. And those are the times where you kind of slip into bad habits, former ways. Jesus said, "You for sure are going to deny me." And then, of course, Peter speaks again, because we can't let Jesus have the last word. So Peter has to speak up, and really all the disciples are speaking up at this time. I guess they now all have all the gumption. They're following their leader, Peter, I guess. And Peter says in verse 35, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples, "I will die with you. I will die with you." And the reality is that there was only one disciple close to the cross. It was John. All the other disciples were scattered. It's exactly what Zechariah 13 says. When Jesus is going through all of the persecution on the cross, the disciples are nowhere to be found. They are totally scattered. And yet they're the ones that say, "I will die with you. I will die with you." First of all, I suppose from a redemptive standpoint, no one could die with Jesus, right? Jesus is the one who has to solely die for the sins of the world. The reality also, historically, is that the disciples did not die with Jesus. In fact, the criminals died with Jesus. Isn't it funny? The disciples, the ones who follow Jesus, like, "I will die with you." It's the criminals on the cross, right? The criminals with Jesus, who died with Jesus. Who do you see yourself as? The self-righteous disciples who say, "Ah," or the criminal on the cross who says, "I'm in desperate need," or at least one of them? Like, who are you in the story? Are you the self-righteous disciple that says, "Oh, no, I would not never deny Jesus"? Does anybody seriously in here would ever raise their hand to say, "I've never denied Jesus in my life or lifestyle"? Like, ever. So many things in our day, in our week, our month, our year, we can look back at and sort of like, "Oh, I had that opportunity. I blew it. I had an opportunity just to share Jesus, just to say Jesus loves you. Just something to share the character of Jesus, and I didn't. Oh, I'd never deny you. In fact, I'll die for you." You know, the reality is that they didn't die for Jesus or with Jesus. They scattered. But then something amazing happened at Pentecost. The amazing work when Jesus leaves the earth, his Spirit baptizes the church and overwhelms the church with words, with ministry, with his presence. That they finally get it. And all that scattering that took place, Jesus, it's so funny, right? Matthew 28. I know we're not there yet. It's two whole chapters away. Matthew 28 ends with, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," starting with Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and I am with you always. I'm with you. I am with you in the form of my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that will be with you always to the ends of the earth. And while they've scattered, that's not the go Jesus wanted, right? They're scattering not because they're going to evangelize. They're scattering because they're scared right now. And Jesus, in his raised state, says, "Now I want you to be scattered in a different way, under my power. I want you to be scattered to all nations, evangelizing the lost in my name." The funny thing is, Jesus says, "Go therefore." And then Acts chapter 1, he tells them to wait. Go, wait. Go, wait. Go, wait. Does that sound like your life sometimes? Jesus says, "Go." And then he says, "Wait in the upper room until my Spirit falls on you." And you will know when that happens. You will know. You will know, all 100 plus people in that room, you will know when my Spirit falls on you. And then you will go. Isn't it amazing that Jesus gives the directive to go, but then he says, "Wait"? Sometimes Jesus is telling you to go, and you need to be patient and wait for the right moment, for the right leading. Go and wait, go and wait, go and wait. And while you're waiting, you're praying, you're seeking God's face, telling people about Jesus. In your own area, as you're going, share as you're waiting for the next instructions by Jesus. Peter said, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. He turns around that same night and denies him three times. And doesn't die with him. But interestingly enough, of course, all of you know, I think, that all the disciples did die for Jesus, didn't they? Every single disciple died for Jesus. They were amazing missionaries in all of the uttermost. And they all died for Jesus. So while there was a moment in time where they denied Jesus, in the end, they showed off the light of Jesus in their life and they died for their faith. It's a pretty simple message really today. And it's simply this. Isn't it nice that Jesus tells you what your life is like? Isn't it nice that the Holy Scriptures themselves tell you who you are? They tell you that if you love Jesus, and you do love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that there's going to come a point in your time. In fact, let's just be honest. We just had church. Just like the disciples. Right? Disciples just had church. Ate some food. But there is fellowship, and there's food, and there's singing. I felt like I got teleported back to Nashville. That was awesome. There's worship. There's the Word. There's communion with one another. And then, right after that, we're going to be offended today. Right? I'm not trying to be mean. But there's going to be something today. I'm telling you, especially after a message like this, the Lord is going to put someone in your life today. And I believe the Lord is going to test you today. There's someone going to be in your life today where you're going to make a decision, shall I say those words, Jesus loves you? There's going to be somebody today. It might be in your family, in your household. Might be at the store, might be at the beach, it might be wherever you're going today. I'm telling you, the Lord is going to convict you in His Word today. Are you going to deny Him today? Are you going to be bold? And we can only be bold not in our own strength. Remember, as the disciples failed without the power of His presence. This isn't a work that we're doing to get right with God. God has made us right because He's the one that struck the shepherd. He's the one that raised that shepherd from the dead. And we get to rejoice and worship and respond to what He's done. Therefore, we don't have to deny His name. Do you know that racism would go away if people just came to Jesus? Do you know that there'd be less shootings in America if people just came to Jesus? You know there'd be less violence if people came to Jesus? You know there'd be less bloodshed if people came to Jesus? There'd be more justice if people came to Jesus? You know if there were better police who loved Jesus? If there were better blacks who loved Jesus? Better Asians who loved Jesus? Better whites who loved Jesus? Do you realize that the purpose of this life right now is to show off His redemption? And I know why this world is the way it is. They lack Jesus. It is your responsibility, it is my responsibility to show Jesus off today. I don't particularly like that Franciscan monk. And it's been quoted often, regularly, which I don't like. Share Jesus and use words if necessary. I can't stand that. Share Jesus with your mouth and let your actions follow suit. Share Jesus with your words and your actions better look like what you're saying. Share Jesus and if necessary, use words. Not one person is going to come to saving faith, saving faith in the redemptive Jesus Christ without a spoken word. That is the word itself in these hotels, in the just giving out tracts. Now one person comes to saving faith without a spoken word. You are a spoken, illuminating word to the lost. I was watching this weekend a cappella male competition, singing competition. I love a cappella music. I love male a cappella music. It's love harmony. I love singing. I love music. And their whole thing throughout the weekend was, you know, if we all just sang together, created this harmony, there would be harmony in the world. If we just sang together as one, we'd come together as blacks and whites and Asians and all sing together. And as we sing together as a choir, look at the choir on the stage here. And there's all different races, all different kinds. And we could all just get along if we all just sing together. I was thinking about that all weekend because, I mean, every organization, flip through the TV, every organization says the same thing now. If we could all just do this together, if we could all just do this together, this world, this place would be a better place. It sounds so good at first. But if I said it enough, I'm going to say it one more time, and then I'm going to pray. I appreciate that the world needs more singers. I appreciate that the world could have a choir of all different races and all different. I love it. And they all come together and they all sound wonderful. But that doesn't solve their problem. What the world needs now is Jesus. And let's be honest before Him as we pray and confess our frailties. And confess that we need His Spirit to overwhelm us and to overpower our fears, our worries, our anxieties, what everybody thinks, and just share Jesus. Heavenly Father, we have to just come before You now and admit, as frail human beings, as hard as this is, we're just like Peter. We, in sincerity, we're going to wash the dog and we're going to feed the dog, we're going to bathe the dog, we're going to do all these things. In reality, we fail. And Lord, I want to speak on behalf of almost every single person in here, Lord. We really have a desire to share Your love with others. We really, Lord, have a desire and a sincere heart to speak Your truth in love to the world around us, to our neighbors, to our family members. We really want to do that, God. But then fear kicks in, anxieties kick in, all those other emotions. And we don't know what to do, and we get flustered, and we don't know what to say, and words don't come out right, and we don't know apologetics that well, and it just doesn't come out well. Then we feel like idiots, and maybe it's better not to say anything at all. But Lord, in those moments of frailty, we ask that You would fill us with Your Spirit. Maybe instead of trying to find the right words, we just simply say, God, fill me with Your Spirit now. In humility, I ask that You give me the right words. Fill me with Your Spirit. Fill me with Your empowering presence that allows me just to simply share Your Son Jesus with this world. Lord, I don't want to be ashamed of my faith. I know my brothers and sisters in here don't want to either. But we got to be honest that this text is talking to us. So in our frailty, in our humanity, in our sinful desires, God, we ask that Your Spirit overwhelm us. Cause us to worship. Cause us to pray. Cause us to be so filled by Your presence that we'll just say, you need Jesus, and then think about what you said later. I can't believe I just did that. I can't believe I just said that someone needed Jesus. That felt so awesome. And maybe they didn't come to Jesus, but I planted seeds. I was not ashamed of the gospel. So today we're confronted with, are we willing to die or to deny? Might be easy if a gun were to my head to say, do you love Jesus? Absolutely, I love Jesus. Pull the trigger. I can do that. Well, I could only be able to do that once. I could do that every day. Someone put a gun to my head, I would never deny Jesus. But man, getting a haircut? Oh, do you love, what do you do for a living? I love Jesus. Oh, it's so hard to say that. Why? Why is it so hard to say that? Oh, what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor of a church, shepherding the flock of God. So hard to say those words. Lord, I'm so sorry for my frailty, for my sinfulness. And not taking those everyday moments, just to share your love in spoken word with a lost and dying world who desperately needs your son, Jesus. Yeah, the world needs love, needs peace, needs hope, but it's only going to be found in Jesus. So, Lord, we're almost done with church. And we're going to be set out into this world. And Lord, I don't want to look like that disciple. I don't. I want to admit my frailties and admit my sins. But Lord, every day, each and every day, may we be filled with your Spirit, empowered by your presence, to boldly speak of your Son, Jesus. And it is in name we pray, and it is in his name that we sing our Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing together.